basically it doesn't the project doesn't deliver what it should deliver.
And it still doesn't deliver, if I'm correct, because we're still using the same MyFair cards, which are still the hackable cards, which are still not...
Well, they are...
Did they even fix the Teller problem?
No, they've introduced a new card now, the Infineon SLE66. And that chip is a Java card. Now, let's not go into that discussion.
No,
but they
let's
say
not.
They basically now detect if somebody is brute forcing, and they basically make the chip stop responding. I'm still in the process of finding out how they do it, but they are now introducing an even newer chip, the SLE77, and that can do a different kind of encryption, and over time they will switch.
Over time. So at the moment, if I'm buying an OV chip card, I will still have...
The problem I posed was that if they would have solved it... let's say overnight, or as soon as possible, mm-hmm. that would cost more than 100 million euros. And they are already somewhat over budget by 120 million euros. So the project is more expensive than thought of.
So it failed.
You could argue that this is a failed project, yes. But back to my lecture.
Yes. I'm sorry. I just thought it was a good example to walk into and to see what actually happened.
Yeah, then the public prosecutor comes after you. Mm-hmm. I'm a freelance journalist, so a lawyer is very expensive for me.
Mm-hmm.
The threatening way of the police coming after you, it has a lot of impact. So right now I understand very well how nasty it is if the government is after you. And this makes me very emotional, angry, upset about what we are doing to youngsters that are basically doing the right thing. So that is the essence of censorship, that somebody comes to you and basically makes you not write or do something, even though you're doing it in a right mind. And now even the company that is behind the overchip card has said to me that they regretted filing charges against me. But that's a little bit late. And I mean, apology accepted, of course, and they had their lesson. But it's very late in the process. And the thing with the government is it's a machine that is kind of uncontrollable. So I rather talk about state, because then people remember that the state also has a nasty face. They can put people in prison. They can hinder them in their endeavors. They can take away your children. They can do really nasty things. And sometimes it's very a very complex beast to control. Let me give you an example. There was this 15-year-old boy, Hans Schreuder. He found a flaw in Habbo Hotel. Habbo Hotel is a website where you can game a little bit and children come and they for them it's fun.
I know the website. There's just, it's a popular target for another group of people.
Yes.
Who are doing stuff there which is not really that great, but let's continue with your example, please.
Yeah, and the 15-year-old found a bug in the administrative module. So you can get the addresses and information of little children very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And these boys, basically, this boy helped his company. The company thanked him. And the next thing that the company did was like, yeah, we need a little bit of extra information so that we can find them in the log files.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they did. That's what he did. He gave the information to the log file to use in the log files. And they searched the information and then they pressed charges against him. So they were the company was evil. Now the public prosecutor said, okay, I'm not going to prosecute this. Then the company took the public prosecutor to court to force them to prosecute. When they realized that they might lose, all of a sudden they retracted the case. Now this boy was 15 years old when this happened. and now he's 18, and now he's off the hook. So for 3 years, this case has been a dark cloud over his head. And basically, for doing the right thing. I don't want to live in a country where we treat youngsters like this for doing the right thing. Mm. So, again, this is the chilling effect of a state doing nasty things. So that is very nasty, yeah, nasty and full of misery. Mm.
Yeah, and you had a lot of examples of this happening. Do you have a light at the end of the tunnel? Because I'm getting really depressed here.
No, I don't at this point. The thing is that at this point we are on a road where unless we start to wake up, nothing will change. You can say like we have freedom of speech in the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
But that's in the constitution, and we can't enforce the constitution in the Netherlands. There's no court to do so. If you violate the constitution, that's not a crime in the Netherlands. If you make a law that is contradicting the constitution, that is totally okay, because as soon as a law comes into place, it is deemed to be in accordance with the constitution. So we would need to fix the constitution to have firmer law.
Mm-hmm.
Or we need to have a public prosecutor that dares to say, I'm not going to prosecute that. Not a good idea.
Yes. Okay.
I have one other example of censorship that I really, really want to talk about. And when your show is over, my show begins, I will call this boy and bring him on the radio. But there's this boy, Ilya, who stopped his study when he was at 24 because his brother and little sister had been taken away by the Dutch government. Child Protection Services took them. I've read many documents out of the case, and it seems to me that there is a mistake made. It's an honest mistake, probably. But the thing that the mother only speaks Russian seems to be the biggest issue at hand here. And
okay.
The boy filmed when the police came and took the children out of house and went public with it. And when you see the imagery, it is shocking. It is really, really shocking. And you hear the children cry, and you hear them say, I want to go to mommy.
Mm-hmm.
In Dutch.
Yes.
Very important, because that apparently means that the children do speak Dutch and do, you know.
I know. Yes, indeed.
For showing this to the world, he was not allowed to see his brother and sister for months. And he started campaigning against what happened here. He got a little bit of help of a couple of journalists. I'm one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, the Dutch government just doesn't say why this happened. Now, this case has been ongoing for a year. And they went to the European Parliament and testified. Now, Child Protective Services just recently has written a report. In the report, it says that the boy and girl cannot go home because of the campaigning. The campaigning is not in the benefit of these children. So the boy that stands for his little brother and sister now is punished for being public and being open about what happened there. And the advice is not to send them home. The second thing is, he shouldn't have gone to the European Parliament. So, executing his constitutional rights is all of a sudden a reason for the Netherlands to basically keep your children away. That is the sheer definition of censorship, and any journalist should be very, very angry. The only fix I see for these type of issues is that we stand up against it and say, this is not the country that we want to build. This is not the country that I believe in. I love my country dearly. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
And we should start beginning to see the consequences of what we are doing.
Yes. Wow. I'm like totally flabbergasted by the story.
It is shocking. And the thing is, we don't think about it enough because, you know, if you hear child protective services, there's always this feeling there must be something ongoing, but it's a machine you start and cannot stop. And I understand what happened here very well. You know, child protective services starts to panic. They don't know what is happening now and how to deal with it. And then they start to make one mistake after another mistake after another mistake after another mistake. And at the end of the day, everybody is in a position that they don't want to be in. There are many good people working at child protective services. I've spoken to many of them. I've spoken to judges. They explain to me that they do not dare to rule against child protective services. So the family has lost every case. And when they win in appeal, which they've done twice, child protective services basically starts a new case and find new reasons to keep the children away. And it's such a mechanism lacks proper control.
Yes.
Another example, and that is closer to hacking and why it's important that we hack system and test them over and over again, is Indigo. Indigo is a system in use at the Department of Security and Justice for people that are, how do you call that? Immigrating to the Netherlands. And if you seek asylum, you'll be in this system.
Okay, so this is not the platform which is like Kickstarter. This is a totally different system.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a government system, so a field project as usual. And the thing is, they have markers. And one of the markers is you're ready to be removed. Now, there was this activist from Russia that fled to the Netherlands after he was released from prison. He lost his case and he appealed, and where mistake after mistake was made, and at a certain time he got the label ready to be removed. Mm-hmm. So he was imprisoned. They forgot to set the label that he was suicidal. So he hung himself in the jail cell. And basically nobody was to blame, so everybody is to blame, so nobody gets the blame. And now, because of a simple computer glitch, a person is dead. An activist that was basically just coming to the Netherlands to be protected for his freedom of speech and be campaigning against Putin. I think that's very sad.
Very sad.
Subsequently, they started an investigation. 300 people were also marked removable where they shouldn't have been marked at. So the system is a massive fuck up, and we don't realize that we haven't thought this properly through. So this is a big deal.
I agree, and I mean,
and this is
look
why
around.
I want to see.
There are 3,000 people here who are happy to. Well, there would be at least 2,000 of the 3,000 people here who would be happy to look into such a secure system, or rather, such a system which is supposed to be secure.
Yeah,
for these very kinds of reasons.
The people here present would have said, don't build a machine you cannot stop. Don't build, you know, if you even have to build such a system, that's a different discussion, but if you build such a system, build a system where you have got many escapes, where you check, you know, and where you can't make these massive fuck-ups. But we've got these politicians running around that we need more systems, and we need every time they have a problem, there's a digital solution.
Mm-hmm. Because they have no problems or something.
Yes. So it just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't work like that. We should really stand up against these things and at a certain point say, like, sometimes it's better not to have technology, or sometimes it's better to build extra escapes. And if you don't know how the system is working or can't oversee the consequences, probably the best thing to do is to reevaluate your opinion. But the thing is, with many managers, and I consider politicians to be managers, that they have a solution and then they basically work towards a common problem that we all should recognize that there's there. And also the fact that you there is no way back. That's bullshit. There's always a way back. There's always something you can do to show. You know, once politicians said to me, it's not possible to fix computer systems. It's basically not possible to have more secure systems because a lot of companies won't do it. Well, I showed it to them. For 1 month in 2011, I showed the data leak each and every day. I called the month Leaktober.
Yes.
And people later came up to me and said, like, we were so afraid you were coming to talk about our company because we have data leaks and we know it and we are not secure enough. These were managers of the company. So I was amazed that I wasn't a target of Leaktober. I've had tens of those conversations. When the month started, I believe it was already 4 or 5 October, all the security companies got massive amounts of phone calls. They wanted security audits. And it was, I believe, 5 October when several companies announced that they hadn't any people left to do audits until June of the next year. So all of a sudden, apparently, there were a lot of companies that realized that they should have been doing audits all the time and they never bothered to do so because else there would have been an industry around it already. Yes. So I single-handedly created that industry. So there is something you can do as one person, you know, make stupid managers look stupid. You know, that's the best way you can deal with this.
All right. Before we close this up, is there some last words you would like to speak to the Hacker Public Radio audience?
Yes, I think that hackers, and I consider them, most of them my friends, they should stop bitching about trivial issues and start to be critical again, especially towards states. Critical on how they are behaving, and they need to be, you know, vigilant, because this is the community that can make a difference. You know, we are the people that hold the key to the future because we understand technology and we understand the danger of technology. So help each other, you know, and dare to campaign against really big mistakes. Forget yes. about the trivial issues. Start to be angry about the big issues life is all about.
Yes. Well, thank you for your time, especially since this is in your showtime. So I'm really happy that you had gave me this opportunity. We will cut this out later for the street, for the podcast, and we'll take care of that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Moet je een flesje water brengen, Brenno?
Ja, lekker.
Wat doen we? Muziekje eerst even? Of,
Zullen we even een early morning show en dan een liedje even?
Ja.
Ja, lekker.
Dus dat doe jij dan?
Ja.
Oké, dan pak ik
water. En dan bel ik daarna Ilja. Ja. Zo. Dun 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 dun.
Weet
je
hoe
het ging? Ja, het ging heel erg goed. Dit had ik op podium moeten doen. Ja.
Ik zit hier.
Hey, hij staat niet open.
Hello, are we still here? Hello, hello, hello. Dead air, where are you? What are we doing?
Oh, my fault, okay. My bad. Dank u wel, meneer. Dat was super. Nee, hij ging hartstikke goed.
Moet je Dennis vragen? Ja. Prima, laatst. Ik is aan
mee. Ja, ik ga heel even kijken of dit inderdaad de stick is.
Hij draait DJ Pro ding.
Oké, muziek draait 4 minuten 50.
Kan ik je straks
even met Dennis geven? Ik weet het niet. Ja, sorry.
Wat gaan eten als je hier past. Bye. Ben je al bezig met die
gaan nu. Dat is na de draaien. Dat is na de draaien. Wat?
Na het muziek draaien, ga je met die auto.
Ja. Goed.
Early morning is een beetje onzin, toch? Early morning show is een beetje onzin, toch?
Ja, maar dat geeft een beetje het laatste dag. Dus.
Ja,
precies. We hebben nog een zendvergunning sowieso, dus wij gaan gewoon door tot het zon eraf gaat of zo.
En morgen nog heel lang school blijkbaar.
En dan gaan we toch alleen op FM door.
Ja, vanmorgenochtend eerst naar het karwei om ernaar te gaan, zodat we de zender nog in de lucht kunnen houden.
Nee, hey, laten we morgen zo even
doen. Oh ja, hoe laat...
Hoe laat doen we het voor werk
voor je? Hey, moet, ik zou, weet je wat ik zou doen? Heb ik ook nagedacht? Ik zou Walter Belgen. Walter Belgen. Of ik zou morgen op de hele dag doen. Netwerk gaat niet op pad vandaag. Ja, nou ja, tot 12 uur. Ja, maar tot 12 uur gaat er gewoon niks gebeuren.
Oh. Chill! Hallo,
sorry.
Ja, dat is ook wel... Hallo.
Dennis zet gewoon zijn playlist aan. En zo nu en dan zegt hij van, oh, ik wil wat zeggen. Dat is eigenlijk... Dus eigenlijk, jij zet een playlist aan het begin van het programma. En elke keer als je denkt, ik heb zin om te praten, of op, schuif open, en dan gaat het niet meer.
Ja. We gaan zo meteen nog een harem intussen doen. Harem in Tuscany.
Oh jee.
Ja, ik heb het. Ja.
Biding. Not a biding. Ah.
Staan.
Maar eigenlijk is het Bram bepalend. Bram. Als hij zijn antenne wil inklappen, wil hij zijn antenne
inklappen. Ja, dat klopt.
Ik denk, het moet er helemaal niet moeilijk over zijn.
Nee, dat is gewoon echt.
Ja. Jij moet gewoon meegaan de 17 of 18 november.
Oh, ik kom naar Nederland.
Dan zijn ze in Nederland.
Oh,
in
oh,
de okay. Paradiso.
Oh.
2013, 8 uur. Het is trouwens niet om 8 uur.
8 uur vanaf. 20
uur. Ben je dan een beetje te...
Awesome. 104.7 FM. You're listening to the Omroep. Good afternoon. Oh, sorry. Good morning, because this is the early morning radio show. Meanwhile, present again is Andreas.
Yes.
Hey. Did we miss out on any news?
Well, we don't miss out on any news ever, but I saw a very interesting small article linked to on Slashdot, which so far I haven't seen anywhere else, and it's quite subtle in some ways. If you have a Xerox scanner printer combination, especially the more expensive ones, they have a nice issue with the scanner module that the module will drop or add pixels in interesting patterns, usually in the area between where a 6 or a 1 character is placed, and then it changes the 1 in a 7 or a 7 into a 1 or the 6 into an 8 or the 8 into a 6. And if you have a drawing,
that's funny, if you want to send a bill.
Yes.
Yes, you scan it in and suddenly you have 600 more euros.
Yes. Or the other way around.
160. Yeah.
And
we need to send those printers to our suppliers.
Yeah.
What do you mean 7,000 euros?
Exactly. So Xerox Oryx, it's a German researcher found the problem while they were reviewing, I think they're a technical bureau, and they were reviewing drawings, sketches for a house, and they've been able to reproduce it consistently. With two modules, two Xerox module model copier models, and their reseller is aware of the problem, and they've already had the national support organization confirm that there might be an issue here, and that they've proven that the latest they had a really old software that had a problem from 2008 or something, and the latest software of a couple of weeks old still has the same problem.
Interesting. Well, in the meantime, I've found a number of Ilya. Ilya is waiting for us to call, so let's definitely do that. I'll start the call right now. And we're calling out with Skype to his cell phone. So let's hope it's... No, it won't be our bandwidth. Hi, Ilya. This is Brenno calling from the OHM... Roep, thank you for being on the show. Little over a year ago, your little brother and sister were taken away. Why was that? Conflict of loyalty. Loyalty to whom? Loyalty to whom? The father, but... Yeah, and what... Can you tell a little bit about the father? Can you tell a little bit about the conflict without going in too much detail? Ultimately, the brother and sister, they were taken out of your house. You started to film that. Why did you do that? Yeah. Now the thing, of course, was the policeman came to you and he said you shouldn't film, but you went also public with the video. How did people from Jeugdzorg respond? Yeah, and then they also pressed charges against you indeed, and those were tossed out. Of course, they don't come to arrest you, right? What's right? Did they come to arrest you or did they not come to arrest you? You fled the Netherlands because you weren't safe. Then you came back, what happened? Okay, you took the case to the European Parliament. So the children came home. Wait. Are you saying that they backdated? How do you know that? also fight for their interest, and your brother and sister are still not home. Sad to hear. Now, what's your plan now? What can you do? Can you do anything? Yes. Wait. 20th of October? Oh, okay, that's more logic. Ilya, thank you very much for telling this all. It's a hefty case, and I hope that the end of the endeavors is that your brother and sister will be home again. And what you didn't tell the people, but what I know, is that you can restart your study, because you've stopped your study to fight for your brother and sister, and that's very special. Thank you very much for that. Oh gosh, did my mother do a bad job on me? Hey, Ilya, thank you very much for telling this and thank you for being on the radio. Bye-bye. I don't know what to say.
I still don't know what to say.
No, me neither. So, let's do some Gogo Bordello and light up a little bit.
Uplifting music.
Uplifting music.
You really like Gogo Bordello, don't you?
Yep.
Hallo?
Er staat er minimaal eentje heel hard.
Ja. Ik heb er twee terug.
Hallo? Hallo?
We zijn bijna.
Heftig.
Hallo, hallo.
Vertel ook nu een paar nieuwe hallo. Dingen. Dat asiel was het.
Nou, ik heb niet helemaal...
Hallo, hallo, hallo.
En zij moet zo draaien, toch?
Hallo, hallo.
Nou, om 6 uur.
Of een kwartiertje.
Hallo, hallo. Hallo, hallo.
Oké.
Kunnen jullie zelf
op
de kaart?
Hallo, hallo.
Nou,
hallo, hallo. Hallo, hallo.
Okay.
Hallo, hallo.
Ik maak wanneer zo bent, dan kunnen ze wel maken.
Ja.
Ze lol hebben. Hoe ga je? Ga je klaarmaken? Kijk wel van zender af. Je genoeg zoveel bordellen op de kaart voor de hele dag.
Die ligt daar, ik ben aan het opladen even nog, ja? Ja. Nog een liedje alcohol, alcohol.
Ja. Hij neemt nog even droog en droog.
ben nu al meer dan een maand niet geweest. Kijk joh.
Ja, inderdaad. Ik merk dat je normaal gesproken wel wat je voor elkaar doet. Inderdaad wel.
Ja. Dan is gewoon wachten bij de rest. Ik zoek wel wat muziek hier in.
Ja, ik kan met mijn moeder ook.
Ja, ik voel gewoon shit.
Ja?
Als ik iemand rond zie lopen, krijg ik ver uit de stress. Voel ik het bij mezelf al opkomen. Als ik bezig ben.
Oeh. Ik kan nog iets vragen. Nee, jou. En zou je even naar logistics willen laten? En mijn batterij laten
opnieuw.
Want
blijf jij hier?
Ik blijf hier. Als je terug bent, dan moet voor 6 uur bouwen.
Dus. Oh, oké, ja.
Concert, ik denk wel, ja.
Even
zie je. Hij gaat even de batterij van de Porto vervangen. Ga je zo wat eten ook?
Ja.
Nou, de heren kunnen prima het zelf redden. Oh, dat regelen ze heus wel. Zijn jullie zover? Nee. Oké. Oh, wacht even.
Ja, en bellen. Ik heb al een
gemeld. Op zijn dekt?
Ja.
Oh, super. Ik heb nog 1 minuut 5. Zal ik dan gewoon de eindjingle doen en afkondigen?
Ja, doe dat maar. En dat we in afwachting zijn van... dat we tot de tijd wat muziek draaien. Ook muziek draaien.
Ja.
Van een iets andere snit.
And you're back at 104.7 FM. My name is Brenno de Winter. This is the final bit of the early morning radio show. Thank you all for listening. We are currently awaiting two very special DJs who are currently in the build-up phase. And they might even begin a little bit before 6. And they might begin a little bit later. We basically do not know because they're building up their equipment. And they will make 2 hours of kick-ass music. So guys, have a lot of fun. And thank you all for listening to the early morning radio show for the very last time.
Hey!
Hey! The man with the plan.
Yes. Men, passwords.
Passwords. Dat is password.
Nou, de heren willen gaan draaien.
En dat is
zijn reden.
Kom eens even.
Nee
hoor. Zijn er nu vanaf geschikt. Dit zijn de. gevraagd aan ze, willen ze. En toen, toen waren ze geen dag waargemaakt. Ja, dat wist ik niet. Maar ja, de kids die...
Even inloggen.
Echt wel Stitch wel uit, maar...
Huh? Oh, ja.
Nee, dat snap ik ook best wel, maar ik heb wel een keer een gat, dus dan was het gewoon...
Ja, alles is vuur.
Nee, nou ja, goed, weet je, dan leg ik het zo meteen wel uit en later vannacht...
Ja,
dat is
steeds.
Laten we nu even in ieder geval u draaien.
Mag jij dat
meenemen? Ja, goed, heb jij zijn nummer? Jij bent om. Hoe laat ben jij ook weer? 8 uur. Dus kunnen jullie toch ook nog een extra uur om 9 uur draaien?
4 uur.
9 uur. Zou dat ook voor jou.
Hallo, om 8:30.
Ja? Ja? Wil je die ook op stream zetten?
Dat lijkt wel gaaf.
Ja, maar dan pak je hem voor show af. Nee, die wat dan was...
Ja, want Walter die heeft ook snoden plannen. Ja.
Hé, hey, dat is dan voor jou om 8 uur. Ja, precies. Ja, maar omdat ik... De Late Night Show verplaatst naar 12:30. Dus jullie kunnen 2 keer... Een...
ook omwisselen dat zij dan dat tot vullen.
Ja. Muziek is bijna klaar.
Ik kan ook omdraaien, heb je mijn
datum? Nee, maar zij durven wel.
Ik heb liever een later slot, hoor.
Dennis. Hey.
Ja.
Okay. Muziek is bijna klaar.
Oké, 8 voor
10,
is dat ook oké? Okay? 8 voor elkaar?
Oké.
Okay. Cool.
Dank je wel. Hij staat aan de mensen. Ja. Even voor de...
Om 8 uur.
Het is al donker.
Zeker weten nou?
Ja. Rustig maar.
Oké.
8 voor 10 en ben jij niet 10 tot 11?
Bemoeien op een gegeven moment.
Dat is waar.
Je hebt best kans dat ineens half de organisatie hier gaat zitten en dat je echt...
Nou,
weet je
wel.
Maar je hebt gewoon een uur en alles wat langer is het leuk. En als je het niet meer leuk vindt, dan is het...
Ja, voorbij. Als je de man...
Ik start maar voor wat heen en dan kom ik weer.
Oké.
Okay. Ja, oh ja, ja.
Of heb je ineens een gast van de centrale?
Nee.
Oh no, 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 no. We hebben nu een kloppend schema, we zijn nu klaar.
Ah, fuck.